Good morning. Beautiful morning. We look forward to a good day and our fellowship afterwards and using our fellowship hall. Shall we open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3. We had a good pastor's meeting yesterday, and we'll be having a conference here again in the fall. Not sure about the speaker yet. Proverbs chapter 3, entering into a new chapter here. Chapter 2 was warning against ruinous comradeship, and it dealt with moral stability, which wisdom gives. Chapter 3 is dealing with the particulars of our relationship with God. And the kernel in this chapter is verses 5 and 6, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not unto our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But then before that, we have verses that deal with the importance of wisdom and the word and holding to it. And that's the basis of our faith, the basis of our trusting in the Lord. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And let's read in Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And Bill, would you lead us in prayer? Wisdom is the principal thing. We're going to see as we go through this more and more, it ought to convince us the importance of wisdom. Wisdom, of course, begins with the fear of the Lord, reverential trust. So it does involve a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we don't want to think of wisdom as just some accumulation of facts, but it involves faith. It involves a relationship with the Lord. And it definitely is proven by practice, by obedience, by the doing of the will of God. So it's much more than theory. It's more than knowledge. It's knowledge applied. So it's a great subject, very important. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, again, this deals more with the relationship with God. And we'll see that especially, verses 5 and 6. We won't get that far this morning. But looking at verses 1 through 4, we see the importance of not forgetting, and the heart keeping, and then later we'll see it's to be bound about the neck and in the table of the heart. In other words, it's close to you, it's before your eyes, and it's in your heart. And then we see the blessing that comes, the serenity that comes, the blessedness that comes from having wisdom. So now you may recall it, there's some effort involved to obtain wisdom in chapter 2. If you cry after her, if you seek her as hidden treasure. In other words, it takes some digging in the scriptures to really obtain wisdom. This is a precious jewel that there's a price to pay for the obtaining of the wisdom. And therefore, there's some effort involved. Now, chapter 3, good morning, welcome. In chapter 3, verse 1 of Proverbs, he says, my son, forget not my law. Now, God, many times in the scriptures, he says, forget not, because he knows our tendency to forget. He knows our tendency for the mind to wander and to, yes, we know it, but then in practice, are we walking in it? And is it something that's before our minds and in our hearts on a continuous basis? And it reminds me of 2 Timothy 1, where he says, hold fast to that form of sound words which you've heard of me in love and faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the word there has to do with an echo, the Greek word. It is a Greek word, echo. And you've stood on a hill before where you've, as a kid, you cry out across the valley so you can hear the echo, right? Come back to you. But the thought is, you want that. We want the words to be always there with us. Don't forget it. Don't be far from what God is saying in His Word. My son, forget not my law. Now, Proverbs is written in the setting of a father and mother to a son. And let's go back to Proverbs 1:8, where he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So this isn't just the law. It is the Torah, the doctrine, the direction, the teaching of the Scriptures. That definitely is the content, but it's more personalized. It's the teaching of a father and a mother as to a son from the instruction of the Scriptures. So, my son, forget not my law. Now, with that thought of going back to the thought of not forgetting, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, because this passage also is in the setting of parents to children with the intent that they wouldn't forget. In Proverbs chapter 6 and let's go back to verse 4. Pardon me, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Deuteronomy 6, 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, there would be the parents, right? That's our part. We want to be saturated, like Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Or Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you." In other words, have it in your mind, have it in your heart. And verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And he goes on. And so do everything you can to get it in front of you, to get it in your mind, to get it in your heart. And it's a beautiful thing when that's done. I'll attest to Steve and Dorianne with Hannah and Timmy. They have them reading the Bible before, I think it's actually before they can understand the Bible, but they're reading the Bible, and it's a slow process, but it's a good thing, isn't it? Right away, you're in the Bible, and so you're doing everything you can for it to be in the mind, and then it's in the heart. And you notice what he says about writing it on the doorposts, and you a sign before your eyes. In other words, you just have it prominent. And now you know what's behind this is the fact that God's Word is a revelation. It is God's primary means of communication. He's exalted His Word above all His name. In other words, His revealed person. It is the primary way in which He has revealed Himself. And so remember, wisdom is centered in the relationship with the Lord, who is wisdom, personified. And so the Word reveals Him better than any other way. So it's no wonder Satan attacks this book. And it's no wonder, as I think it was D.L. Moody that said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And how good it is when a Christian is, like it says in Psalm 1, meditating day and night in the law of the Lord, realizing the value of it, where it is before the mind, it is before the heart. How much are we in the Bible? And then the question is, how much is the Bible in us? Well, this can prevent this forgetting. My son, forget not my law. So, we need it, and a saturation with it. Now, the picture here is a young man leaving the home, and he's on his own, and so he's received instruction. Well, now that you are, don't forget what you've heard. There is a point, there is a transition there, isn't there, where a young man is on his own. Well, don't forget my law. Don't forget what I've given to you. Don't forget the revelation of the truth of the Word of God and how that ought to be precious to us. Okay, let's go on now. Proverbs 3, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Now, we know the heart is the seat of the intellect, emotions, and will. That's the inner man as it's presented in the Scriptures. and sometimes synonymous with the soul. And let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, he's talking about obedience to God, but notice it's something from the heart. Obedience that's not from the heart is not real obedience, right? It's a superficial thing. So it's essential that this would sink down into the heart. It's one thing to, it's great to memorize Scripture, but then it's something else, isn't it, to believe it, you embrace it, you are submitting to it. It is something that's part of your life. So that's the thought. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Let's go back to Proverbs 2:2, just to show how much emphasis there is on the heart here. 2 verse 2, he says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And then notice in chapter 2 verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. And then we see that it keeps from the evil man and the strange woman in this context here. There's a protection, but it must be in the heart. If it's not in the heart, it really doesn't affect the life. And so, let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, you probably know the passage, Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. 119:11. So, it's a safeguard, isn't it? You get it in your heart, then it's a you believe that. You embrace that. And it's a guard when the temptation comes, because you have that in your heart. Let's go to the book of Ezra. Chapter 7. Ezra 7, verse 10. This is a key passage related to the Scriptures. Now, Ezra was a ready scribe. These men would write out the Scriptures. In verse 6, it says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Ezra 6:6, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Of course, his desire was to build the temple. Now, chapter 7, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. But notice, Ezra had prepared his heart. So this wasn't some superficial thing. We can do it, can't we? You can come to worship and we can go through the form. You can do it superficially. That's something to fear, isn't it? To have just a form. God's looking at the heart. He searches the heart and the mind. So Ezra prepared his heart. In other words, you want to get anything that would hinder out of the way. You want to talk to the Lord about it, right? You want to be sincere. Like Hebrews 10, you draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith and worship. Well, this is in relation to the Word here. He's a scribe, but he's not just writing it out. He's preparing his heart to seek three things. To seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And so his heart was prepared. There's nothing hindering the seeking, the process. Sometimes there can be baggage, right? There can be things that hinder. You got to deal with those things, and then there's a freedom, and the heart delighting to run in his ways is the thought here back in our passage. Now, Ezra wasn't just theory with him. He was going to do it, not just seek it, but do it and teach it. Now, back in our passage in Proverbs 3, he says, let thine heart keep my commandments. And the thought is the heart delighting to run in God's ways, in his commandments. So when it's in the heart, that's when it's going to be in the life. Now, the keeping of his commandments, we've seen, is out of love. That's true in Deuteronomy. It's true in the Gospel of John. Let's go to John. I know we've referred to this a lot Sunday evenings in the Deuteronomy study, but it's a key passage. You may recall our last study, if you were with us, in Deuteronomy. For what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to love the Lord thy God, to fear the Lord, to keep his commandments? So he associates the keeping of the commandments with love and the fear of God, personal relationship with God. John 14:21, Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now there's the reward, fellowship with the Lord, where he'll reveal himself, manifest himself to us. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? If he makes his abode with us, if the Lord is real, very close to our hearts and precious to us, well, that's when the heart is keeping his commandment. The heart is keeping his commandments. And if you're still in John 14, notice verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. And so, if it's in the heart, it's going to be in the life, and that's always the proof of wisdom. So, it's one thing to talk it, it's another thing to walk it, right? But again, it's from the heart, out of love. And that's a personal issue. Remember the Ephesus church? They were faithful, didn't compromise with error, and persevered, but they left their first love. They cooled off somewhere. They cooled off. Somehow the heart wasn't in it. They got mechanical, apparently. It's a danger, isn't it? So, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. I have to make a little more time here, maybe. And going on to verse 2, now we see a promise. We see this twice, where he talks about holding to the word, and then the blessing that follows. Now we see the blessing in verse 2. For length of days, and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Now years of life, and no doubt that is literal. Let's go to Proverbs 4:10. We see it a couple places in Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. And by wisdom, in other words, personified. And let's go to one more, if you would, Psalm 91. While you're going there, you may recall Paul in Ephesians 6. He quotes Exodus chapter 20, that if you honor your father and mother, your life will be long on the earth. And it's the first commandment with promise. Here in Psalm 91, which speaks of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, at the end he says, verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And it reminds you of a man like Pastor Black, doesn't it? Almost 102 when he died. Or I think Robert Chapman was another. He was an old man when he died. Now, it doesn't always happen. You have godly David Brainerd, who was 29, or you have a George Whitfield that was 57, I think. And so, but the general principle is you have blessing that'll come from wisdom, long life, and not just longevity here, but peace. And now the thought here is deeper in the Hebrew. Let's go back to Proverbs. Let's compare some other places we see it. Proverbs chapter 3 on this thought of peace. It's a well-being. It's a satisfaction. It's a contentment. That's the thought here. And Proverbs 3:13, he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And one more, Proverbs 29:18. So there's a true happiness in this. There's a true contentment, true fulfillment when a person has wisdom. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that has to do with revelation of the word of God. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It's a true contentment. It's true, isn't it? No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so we're not forgetting it, but with the heart we're keeping it. Pardon me. And then there's length of days and peace, contentment, a true satisfaction, a true well-being. And that's what people are seeking for, aren't they? And it's not like the 70s peace, brother. You know, that isn't it. It's not something superficially or artificially produced. But this is something deep in the heart that God gives through the Holy Spirit. It's a result of faith and obedience to God. Long life and peace shall they add to thee. shall they, shall the teaching of wisdom add to thee. The teaching of wisdom, when it's followed, is going to bring this blessing. So we're not just talking about theory here, brethren, but we know it's reality, isn't it? And the world doesn't appreciate it. And of course, the world is independent, wanting to be anyway, independent of God. You shall be as gods. And they want to throw off their accountability to God or the commands of God. But there's no peace in that, because God has a monopoly on it. Peace, peace I give unto you, my peace give I unto you, Jesus said. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's only when the heart is right with God that there's peace. Peace with God, the peace of God. And so there's a blessing there. There's the blessing that will be found with wisdom. But remember that it starts with the fear of the Lord. It starts with the relationship with the Lord. That's where there's real wisdom, and it's not just theory. What's our relationship with the Lord like? And the outflow of that is obedience to Him. And then there you have these blessings, inwardly and outwardly, that God will give. Okay, let's go on now to verse 3. And notice he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine hearts. And now you again have an exhortation about really holding to wisdom. And then again you promise a blessing. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, let's compare. Psalm 61, if you go there with me, on this thought of mercy and truth. You have two different aspects here, two different things to hold to. Psalm 61:7. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. And again, Psalm 43:3. So there's mercy and truth. Both of them will give preservation. Psalm 43:3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Now, it's a very similar thought, light and truth. Now, this is the mercy and truth of God, because the next phrase says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Again, dealing with wisdom, having it in the heart. So this isn't just knowing about it, but this is God's mercy and truth. Now, the Hebrew could be more accurately rendered loving kindness. Even as David said, Psalm 63, thy loving kindness is better than life. It is the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament grace. So it's grace and truth. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we need grace. We need truth. We need truth. But we need grace. We need grace because we're sinners. Psalm 103 is strong on this. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And God has not dealt with us after our sins. That's grace. And so now, don't let it forsake thee. Don't let this be far from you, that God is a God of loving kindness, that he's a God of grace. Now, the enemy would like to rob that from your mind, but it's prevalent all through the scriptures, even in the Old Testament. Wisdom brings it out. And if God would deal with man according to iniquities, who could stand? Nobody could. And so it's grace that Jesus came and died upon that cross. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And you know, it's grace when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He said, live. He made us alive. And he gave us life, right? Eternal, through the new birth. And it's so you were saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we stand in grace, don't we? Where being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have a standing, a position in grace where his favor is towards us. That's the point, his favor. That's why that one passage, light and truth, it's his favor that we need, isn't it? Well, we have grace in Christ. And so don't let it forsake thee. And then there's grace in the Christian life, isn't there? Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, the Lord said to Paul. Be established in grace, Hebrews 13. And so, in other words, that divine enablement that comes with his favor. You know, if you doubt grace, you're in darkness, right? Because grace is the only basis of a relationship with God. So let not mercy and truth, grace and truth forsake thee. Don't be far from that. Isn't it wonderful? We can come to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. So it's a wonderful thing that we can enjoy that we have favor. And again, the enemy would like you to doubt it. Well, you know the antidote. Look at the cross, because there's the grace of God. There's our acceptance. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it's a rainbow-encircled throne up there in heaven, isn't it? And Jesus has made it that by the cross, where we can come and we know we're accepted in the Beloved One. And it's according to the riches of his grace that he's made us accepted. So, do you believe it? Don't let it be far from you. Mercy and truth. Now, you can't divorce the two, right? Grace and truth. Mercy and truth. We're to love the truth. Hold to the truth. Walk in the truth. Let's go to 3 John on this one. John deals with this very much. In the book of 3 John. What do you have if you don't have truth? You might have a seeker-friendly church. you might have an organization. You might have outward production of so-called Christianity. But if there isn't truth, you don't have anything. If you don't have truth. In 3 John, verse 3, "But I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And then, let's see, the verse I'm looking for is, "There's love in the truth." Maybe that's in 2 John. "Whom I love in the truth, the elect lady." 2 John 1:1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." So we have the truth. Now we know the truth is, Jesus is the truth, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of God is the truth. And this is the true God and eternal life. And so, without the truth, we don't have anything. Without the truth, you have a lie, right? So Jesus is the truth. So there's grace and there's truth. And the whole Bible is truth. His Word is truth. So don't let it forsake thee. The grace that is there and the truth that he's given to you, don't let it forsake you. Now, getting back to the exhortation side of this, the practical side, we want to not be far from it. It reminds me of the passage in Hebrews 2, where after he shows the superiority of Jesus Christ over the angels and how he's so much better than the angels worshipped him and he's God, it says, "We ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let these things slip." Actually, the Hebrew is, "lest you should slip." The Greek, "unless you should drift," is the word. It happens subtly, where there could be a drifting. And so, don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. You know, you can hear the Bible. Oh yeah, I know that passage. And be familiar with it, right? But then, remember that thought of the heart. Don't let it forsake thee. Don't drift from it, or don't let it drift from you. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how there's repetition? You know, in the Proverbs, we're going to come across the verse that's exactly the same as the previous verse. God doesn't forget. He has emphasis. And so he knows our need. And so he reminds us, like Peter, "Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So don't let it forsake you, these things. The fact that you're under his grace and you have the truth in Jesus Christ, and this is the real thing. We're not playing church, right? We're going to look this morning in 1 Timothy 3 about what the church is, a pillar and the ground of the truth. This is what God is doing. It's the truth. But he says, don't let it forsake thee. Don't let it be far from you. Now, how can we prevent that? He becomes very practical here in metaphorical terms. In verse 3, he says, "Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." Now, the thought of the neck is it's displayed as an ornament. And let's go to Proverbs 1:9. Verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck, and chains about thy neck." In other words, they're close to you, but the thought also seems to be they're displayed. They're in your life, they're in your heart, they're in your life. Let's go to Proverbs 3:22, "So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Verse 21, keeping sound wisdom and discretion, grace to thy neck, and like an ornament, identifying you, in fact, as God's child. Let's go to Proverbs 6:21. "Bind them," well, verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandments, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck." So in other words, they're prevalent. They're before your eyes as well as in your heart. Again, that thought of how can we keep them from slipping? How can we keep from forgetting? To do everything you can to have it right before you. And let's go to the book of Exodus 13:16. Now, God gave a lot of warning to Israel after the Exodus and how he would bring them into the land, but after they would be blessed. Don't forget! And don't let these things slip. Exodus 13:16. "And it shall be for a token upon thine heart and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." And in this context, he's talking about the Passover. It was a visual thing for them to help them remember that the Lord delivered them. So you might compare it to communion. It's a visual, isn't it? This due in remembrance of me. Don't forget that I'm the one that delivered you, that redeemed your soul. And let's go to one more place, Deuteronomy 11:18. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that ye may be as they may be as frontlets between your eyes." So it helps, doesn't it? Memorize Scripture. It helps to be there to hear the Word of God all that we can. It helps to be and systematic in the study of the Word. And you have a definite connection between that and spiritual victory in the Bible. There's no such thing as being strong in the Lord and being weak in His Word. That's an impossibility, you know, because it is a primary means by which He gives His strength. So it keeps us from forgetting, getting back to our context and forsaking these things. If we bind them about the neck, that's an insurance for us. Now let's go back in Proverbs. He has another exhortation here, not just to be before the mind and prevalent in your life, but write them upon the table of thine heart. He comes back to this thought. And over we see this emphasized in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 7:3, for instance. "Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life." And we want to have a heart check in Proverbs 7:3. "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." So it's figuratively speaking, but again, the heart being the seat of the intellect, emotions, and will. Now you normally get a physical, don't you? You get an annual physical. And they will always check your heart out because it's sort of a central feature there. And it's good to check the spiritual heart, isn't it? "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." In other words, check my heart out, Lord. And God's the one who alone really can check the heart out. We don't have the ability. I mean, we can look within, but God is the one. And we can ask him, right? Give me a check on this. Am I right with you? He can show us, you know. He'll give us intimacy when the heart is clear and right with him. There's a reward. But write them upon the table of thine heart. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now that definitely is a reference to the new covenant that God will make with Israel in the kingdom. But I believe it is the same as the new covenant that we have with Christ in his blood. I mean, I realize this is particularly toward Israel, but you look at the characteristics of it. They're quoted in Hebrews 8. It is the covenant that we have with God. And he definitely has written it upon our hearts, hasn't he? Now, the law didn't do that, but in the new covenant, which involves the new birth, and that's another promise for Israel in the kingdom. That's in Ezekiel. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, don't you know these things? A man must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. That's part of it. Well, the Holy Spirit writes him these things upon the heart. A person who's not saved has no care for these things, but a person who's saved does. And in fact, we hunger after it, don't we? And the more we're spiritually healthy, the better our appetite is for the truth. And so when it's written on the heart, it's because we're yielded and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to write it there. And there's love and fidelity involved here. When it's impressed deeply on the heart, you want to do his will, don't you? When it's on the heart. So it's not, as some might say, well, it is your duty as a Christian now to do such and such. When we think about that, it is. It does behoove us, you know, to honor the Lord. But if a person is just looking at it out of duty, then they're missing it. But if you look at it as something personal, you know, like Paul, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. In other words, I'm motivated by my Savior, and it's on my heart. I want to please the Lord. So that coming back to the thought of the heart is very essential here. Again, we want to check our hearts, check it before the Lord. When truth hits the heart, that's when it motivates the life. Okay, one last phrase we'll look at here in Proverbs 3:4, he says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So here you have the blessing again that comes from wisdom. Now the favor and the good understanding, favor, we can understand that. Favor from God. That's wonderful, isn't it? When it's just like this is a sunny day and there's something pleasant about that, isn't there? And that's compared, by the way, to in Psalm 84:11, God is a sun and shield. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is a sun and shield. In other words, it's a symbol of his favor. His face shining upon you. That's another phrase in the Bible that speaks of this. And if he hides his face, we are miserable campers, aren't we? But if his face is shining, then you know you have his favor. As much as you know, everything's right between you and the Savior. And don't misunderstand me. The sun's still shining on a cloudy day. You just can't see it. And so you know in faith that he is for you and he loves you. But it's wonderful when you're conscious of it, isn't it? When you are basking in it. So if we're really walking in wisdom, and we're doing his will, and it's from the heart, we're going to find that favor. And good understanding. Now, this is a word in the Hebrew. It's good, fine, well-becoming insight, prudence. And some even say shrewdness, but I don't know that that's the proper word there. So it's a fine, it's a well-becoming insight, prudence. And God can give this. Let's go to Proverbs 2:11, I believe we saw it. He says, if they say, come with us, that's not the one. Yeah, 2:11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And 5:1, we have it, Proverbs 5:1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And one more, 13:15 of Proverbs. 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. So how we need it, a well-becoming insight. Can we see into things? Are we reading things correctly? God can give this. And let's go to one more, Psalm 111:10. You know, wisdom comes from God, as we've seen. He's the source. It doesn't come from our understanding, right? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust the Lord with all of our heart. We're coming up to that one. And it's really connected with this verse. Notice in Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So how we need that. God can give it. God will give it. His favor and good understanding we will find as we're walking in wisdom with the heart. Now he says, this is in the sight of God and man. Now that's an interesting phrase. And let's compare it to 1 Samuel 2:26. Young Samuel was a prophet. He was also a priest. And he was ordained of God to be such. And it was recognized. God, of course, appointed him, and man saw it in 1 Samuel 2:26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And so it was go together. The favor with the Lord and also with men. And let's go to one more. Luke 2:52. And we'll wrap this up. Luke 2:52. Now Jesus was a boy once, right? And we don't have revelation on those years, but except for a few places. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now that's a mystery of godliness, right? That God would be manifest in the flesh, and that as a man, he was a boy, and he learned. As God, he knew all things. You can't grasp it all. A hypostatic union, every whit God, every whit man, no compromise of either nature, but as a man, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so, if a person has wisdom, it'll be such. And what one thing that this shows is morality and a true devotion to God go together. Now, it's kind of a far-reaching application here, but you have, if a person is right with God, you're going to see it also, they'll be right with man. And it'll be recognized. And again, it reminds me, there's a little book that's very good on Robert Chapman. He was a godly man. And he had such a testimony. He was one of those Barnabas type of people. And very strong in prayer and in the word. But he had such a testimony that even a Catholic priest said, if there is ever a saint who's going to heaven, it's that man, Robert Chapman. That's the kind of testimony he had, even with unbelievers. And I believe a man like George Black, it's the same. He had wisdom with God. If you ever had the privilege to talk to George Black, you know that was so. But he had it with man. It was recognized. And so it's true, right? If a person has favor and good understanding because of having wisdom, it's God sees it, of course. God gives it. But man is going to recognize that too. I'm not saying there won't be persecution and so forth, but it's going to be generally recognized by man as well as by God. Well, in closing, we have wisdom as it's revealed in His Word. We're not to forget it. It's personal here. My son, forget not my law. Don't forget it. Don't let it slip. Let the heart keep it. Don't let it forsake you. Bind it about your neck. Write it upon your heart. Make sure you have it all that you can. Be exposed to it all that you can. Surely we could be more in the Word. Surely we could have the Word more in us. That's really the issue. And we need it on our heart, right? Are we embracing it? Are we yielded to it? And does it sink in? That's what God is looking for. He's keep your heart with all diligence. And so there's a challenge in this, an exhortation in this, but then also the promise, life, longevity of life, quality of life. A true contentment, a true happiness is going to be found when a person is walking in wisdom. True contentment. You know, man was created in the image of God and created to have a fellowship with God, and created to walk in the truth of God. But if that doesn't happen, something's out of sync, it's something abnormal, and the world is out of sync and it's abnormal. It's fallen, isn't it? And it's all blowing up, isn't it? It's getting worse in these last days. Well, God's word hasn't changed. You know, the antidote, the Christian ought to all the more dig into the word, right? Isn't that what Paul said to Timothy? Continue, but thou, continue in the things that you've heard and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And so, dig in. Times are getting tough. The world's getting worse. Get deeper in the Bible. Safeguard yourself. Have it before your mind and in your heart. And don't let it slip. Don't forget it. And then there'll be the blessing, the true contentment, and then also the favor and the good understanding before God and man. So, we need the upward look, but it's going to have its outward effect. So it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have wisdom. It's a deep truth, a deep subject in the Bible. May God give us grace to have it in the heart and then practice it in the life. Most definitely the blessing will flow. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We thank Thee for this book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. We pray help us to walk in the light of it. And may it, in this study, may it enlarge our hearts. We know Thee better and know what Thy will is more fully. And walk in it. And we pray for Thy blessing in this way. And may we grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.